perfectly fine.
So.
Ah.
So if you want to pause it, just hit the red button.
Totally. Solid red.
All right. Yep. So it is 2:08, and we are in session for the legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. Commissioners Fowler and Morgan present. Our first document is a draft bid documents for qualified contractors for solid waste cleanup. We have our legal team. We also have Mark Stevenson, our building official, and Mike Weber, our public health director, for this topic.
Yeah. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Sorry,
I thought
you had them over there.
We used to keep them over here,
but they're not here. Thank you.
Somebody.
Okay.
No,
just
wait for everyone to.
Okay. Oh, no. I can listen. Keep going.
Thank you. Okay. So this isn't something that necessarily was required to bring before you, but we're doing something a little bit new. We've never managed contracts this way and the processes in the county, so we want to run by the board. Essentially, what we're going to do is we're modeling off of a system known similar to what's known as IDIQ, indefinite duration, indefinite quantity, in the federal government, whereby we pre-approve contractors to do cleanup on trash properties, and that's kind of the focus of what we're looking at today. So, did the documents get attached?
I did not submit the documents. Okay. They're finalized yet, or I still have a couple of questions on them, but they're pretty much follow our standard bid documents for public works projects. And so we have a request for qualifications that we will send out, and then the contractors who want to be on the list can send their statement of qualifications back, which tells the county what they're qualified to do. There will be a little selection committee to determine who meets the requirements, and then the people who do meet the requirements are put on the list. And then when we have a property to be cleaned up, the property cleanup specialist will send out an email to those qualified contractors.
And it's just for when the county's doing it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Send out a list, a notice to the qualified contractors that will say, you can inspect the property from this time to this time, go take a look at it, and if you want to bid on it, get the bid to us with it by such and such time. And then we'll look at the bids and see if we could go out to clean it up.
So no limit to the number of contractors on the list?
Nope.
No? Kind of like a qualifications list.
Yeah. Yes.
Pre-qualified.
So if we are pulling out funds to do cleanups on these and anybody objects to not being involved, all they have to do is come down to the courthouse, go through the application process, get qualified, and they'll be notified whenever there's a property review up.
Since I don't have it in front of me to review what that process is, why the courthouse versus
wherever
public health or community development, whoever's going to be the applicant, or is this looked at as if, I don't know. I like the idea of having pre-qualified contractors so that we have a list to pull from.
Well, the intent is to speed the process up, especially right now. Okay, you know, big job, small job, we don't have a lot of contractors to pull from, and we have to get a limited pool. And particularly if you're taking bids, having more people in the pool is better. This also opens up the door for people who are smaller businesses to be able to chime in on the lower size jobs, which we have been putting out because we've been trying to take care of the big fish. But eventually we're going to be getting down to the smaller size jobs as well.
So the local police networks have an agreement through the state police as far as identifying tow companies that are authorized to be used. Since there's three agencies that do traffic and towing, they have a rotational list. And so they get pre-approved to be on the list, and you just, it automatically pulls who's next in the list kind of thing between the agencies. Is there any idea to something like that with these bids, or is it always going to be they have to put in the bid and its lowest bid gets the job?
So we had initially discussed doing a rotation and then having them bid on jobs based on rotation. That kind of pulls out competition. It also becomes difficult because there's so many different types of jobs and different people. If somebody gets pulled in for a $300 job and then they get passed up because they went to the bottom of the list for the next $5,000 job, it's not fair to the contractors. Also, more bids means more competition, which means more likely that we aren't going to have, that there will be more competition.
Is there any further progress on there being a process for third-party haulers so they can put stuff in a trailer and take it to a dump site?
So we've been meeting and discussing that. Rob was involved in the conversation. I missed the conversation, but I believe the answer is no. Is that correct?
Well, this is kind of addressing that very issue. And the third-party haulers would be, that would be in play are perfectly able to sign up as pre-qualified contractors and go through this process.
And would they be authorized to haul under this process?
They will be required to use a SOS or public services dumpster that's placed on site, and that will be part of everybody's bid, because that was the biggest gripe was, well, this guy can cowboy through a trailer, or this guy's got to use a dumpster, but now it's equal playing field, you all got to use a dumpster.
So we're going to have built into that pre-qualification process, one, they're going to have to sign on agreeing that they're going to use the SOS trailers. They're going to have to ensure they have adequate liability coverage, and they're going to have to demonstrate capability. They'll have to have an up-to-date contractor's license. And there's a list of requirements that follow to be qualified.
Do both solid waste haulers offer the container? You just said SOS is...
They would have to, based on location. It's part of the franchise.
It's part of the river, right? Okay, separate.
Yeah,
okay. Just make sure.
So the approval for people to be on the pre-qualified list, that process we still need to work out. Our expectation of selecting winning bid, our thought was that it would essentially be Mark and myself. And we would select the winning bid. We want to take it away from the solid waste specialist who's on the ground and works with the contractors themselves. Also, it could be pretty big money, so we didn't want that to sit on his shoulders. Generally speaking, I would expect winning bid to come into play, but there could be circumstances where that wouldn't happen.
Sure.
Timing or other issues. So, overall, any questions, objections, concerns?
Being it's not in front of us, it would be hard to cite what we would be concerned with. In the theory of it, I like the theory of what we're doing. If it can actually speed up the process, but to me, I think there's still the timing of how long bids and all that happen may still be of concern. Or how does this actually increase the speed if you have to submit bids and there's a time for bids and opening and response? Awarding
so
bids.
How that'll work is that'll be managed by the solid waste specialist that works for public health. And he will, once we get the approval from legal to initiate the cleanup on the property, he's going to send out a notification to all prospective bidders stating the property will be open for inspection and viewing from this time frame, and you have until, you know, 2 days, 3 days after that to submit your bid. So it'll put a constraint around it.
It's also the informal process, so there doesn't necessarily have to be the formal opening of bids.
Okay.
It's not in public works.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
It'll speed up.
I mean, I want to see the rest of it, but yeah. Concept sounds really good.
All right.
Do you think there's merit in continuing to push for private hauling in the future when we do a franchise relook at our agreement?
Trying to be Switzerland on this. I see a strong argument for the rate holders within the city and county. I see a good argument for having two designated franchisees to provide service in a safe, reliable fashion and not to where Joe Blow puts a dumpster on the street for household waste. And oh, by the way, wink, wink, you can throw your trash in there. It opens a can of worms potentially.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious while we were on it.
I think it's worth further discussion.
It might have to be.
I can bring a draft for next week.
Sounds very good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is a draft letter to Wild River Ranger District regarding Upper Briggs Creek Watershed Analysis, number 45593.
Yep. Based on the discussion of last week, I generated this draft for the board's consideration, editing, and... processing.
So the only question I had was actually a technicality, not the substance. Matt Petrick is currently on different assignment, and they have an acting interim Forest Ranger, and that is Scott Blower. So I don't know if it needs to be addressed to him, or do you leave it with Matt?
So on that website, I don't either. On the website, it said to send it to this exact person in place.
Let's do that.
But
there we have it. I just didn't know the technicality. I know there's someone in the acting role, but he is still technically the district ranger, so that works.
Okay.
Sounds good.
These were the two main points I think the board really wanted to wrap into this was what does the coordination plan say, and what were the results of the non-binding ballot questions. And I did send out that coordination plan in the wake of last week's meeting. I think I sent it out yesterday. So now everyone will have a chance to kind of keep that on file and reflect upon it when these types of topics come up.
Kiddo?
And, of course, you can amend the coordination plan if you see fit. The last time it was amended was 2015. And it's amended through board order. So a majority of the board, of course, is involved there. I don't see – I haven't heard, based on the discussions, any points that this board would probably want to amend. It's pretty consistent with –
I have not looked at what you sent yet. I apologize. Yeah. But I think it's good for us to all become aware of it.
Yeah.
And that foundationally would be a good place to start from.
Yep.
But I think this letter in the packet is what we were looking for.
Okay.
And
we'll go ahead and...
Do we need to mention or include the resolution we just passed? Or does that make any difference? I think the coordination is strength. The advisory ballots are. We also passed that resolution last week or whenever it was.
Oh, the fire.
The fire one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it, I mean, just kind of, it's not necessary.
No, probably not.
Okay.
Doesn't have a bunch of teeth in it. Recovers some of this stuff, too.
It does.
Yeah.
Does this move forward to the session?
That's my recommendation. You'd have a chance to discuss it, take in public comment, and formally vote on the matter.
That's fine. Does is the response time sufficient?
I didn't see a deadline, and the
I think it's a 45-day response.
Usually it is.
I was told such by Scott Blower, who's the acting forest ranger.
Oh well, that's
district ranger.
Okay, the report was published in 2016, but what that means in terms of our present response time?
No, they just issued something. Something just came out a week or two ago.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So it's, let me see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah.
So there may have been. Okay, the Briggs NEPA. And he literally, they said it just came out. He notified me on the 18th of its release. And I think 45 days is about from the time of this NEPA release. So, but that is curious that it is back in 2016, even this analysis.
The report was completed.
Oh, the final was published for, let's see, there were some things that happened. That brought this up. There was a final economic something on 3/7/19. There's another final RTV Briggs Creek 4/19, and it looks like four documents on 4/18. So I think our 45-day window is, I would safely say,
just started.
No,
week or two
let's
ago,
see.
Or?
I don't know. Something triggered on 4/18. But I'm not sure if that means there's another window. And it's just saying dates published. It's not saying.
It does. They have a disclaimer that says all correspondence will be read and considered. But if you submit it after the deadline, which it didn't expressly tell me, at least on the portions that I was looking at, it says if you submit it after the deadline, it might not receive as much weight. Essentially what it says.
But what is the deadline?
No, I didn't see one.
Yeah. Hmm. That would be my only concern on waiting for the weekly business session.
Okay.
And I'm just going to shoot off an email asking for what the deadline is. and so we can aim for a weekly business session. We have a weekly business session tomorrow, but it's too late to publish for that.
Yep. Right.
So they can wait for next week, unless there's a deadline and we have to figure out when to do that sooner.
Okay, I'll do. I'll keep trying to track one down. It sounds like you have a connection there that you could tap.
Yeah, he's the acting district ranger is the title. So, okay. My only question would be, do we need a motion to kind of, would it be appropriate to say a motion to approve and then full ratification at weekly business session, and, or maybe something if the deadline comes up sooner, or is it just better to wait? I don't know. I don't think we're going to find out too soon, but
right.
What's your thoughts?
Always better to have the public have a look at it.
Sure.
What we're doing. If it's, of course, not time sensitive.
Do you have an admin this week?
No, it got canceled. So I've shot off an email and a text just to see if I can get a timely response before the end of the meeting.
That could happen.
So if we have to revisit before the end of the meeting, we can.
Okay.
All right, so number three is a draft revised ambulance service area plan for Josephine County. This is quite a process. There's Beecher. One of the, there's multiple documents and process involving, we have an emergency medical service board that there's an ordinance as far as authorization of that board and an ambulance service agreement and a contract with AMR. Is there another document out there?
The ordinance.
So yeah, we.
Administrative rules and the plan and the contract.
So we have multiple process involved and it has been being reviewed for several months through the EMS board. Beecher's kindly been attending our meetings and gathering feedback as we go into this new, the ASAs are generally good for 5 years, but usually have automatic renewals kind of potentially there. Is that correct?
The period can be anywhere from 5 to 10 years. OHA will notify us if there is any change that requires an amendment to the plan. The last time that happened, I think, was in 2010, and we got our current plan approved, I think, in 2011.
I'm curious if the recent court status has any bearing on this.
The Mercy Flights decision?
No.
Okay.
That was a dispute between the two agencies and involved the county, and to the extent that the county was going to enforce the section of the ordinance that said that no other ground ambulance operation was allowed within the county. And Mercy Flights was operating ground ambulances in connection with its flight operations. And that was the issue in the court case. The plan still prohibits other ground operations, and the ordinance, I expect, will do that as well. But that doesn't change the ruling in the court. Decision. So it just basically says, in effect, that no one other than Mercy Flights can operate ground ambulances, and Mercy Flights is allowed to do that only to the extent that it affects their flight operation.
Right. Well, AMR, I think you meant probably to say no one except AMR can operate ground ambulances.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank right. you. Yeah, and Mercy right. Flights can operate to the extent that it's integral to their flight operation.
Exactly, yeah.
So, just a minor catch there, but I think everyone is still on board.
we have to put this out to bid, or this is not going to bid?
What?
What's that?
The ASA. It's not going to bid, correct? It's just moving forward for approval. It just struck me on a section that says applications in response to invitation to bid. And this is just the groundwork if we ever did that, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Okay.
This is the plan that is required by statute. ORS 682.06-0.062 requires that the county create a plan if we don't have one, and amend the plan if we have one to take into account whatever changes might affect the operation of the plan.
Any questions or any thoughts?
Not for me.
So from here, we have to have hearings on this, correct? Is this isn't an update of the ordinance, or does this move towards an update of the ordinance?
Well, the ordinance will be updated. This is independent of the ordinance, except that it does say that the county will have an ordinance.
Okay.
That's the only connection between them.
So I have no problems with this moving forward to the weekly business session.
That sounds good.
So the next step basically is a certification that is a signature by the board certifying that this is their plan, that they approve it. Then it goes to OHA for approval. OHA then has 60 days from our submission of the plan either to reject it or to approve it.
Okay.
I expect it will not take that long.
I'm good.
Okay.
I suppose I'll need to present.
Probably.
There's some other drafty.
I'll
sign up for that.
I mean, Beecher is probably the most knowledgeable about the process.
Yeah.
I don't know that Mike, unless you've brought Mike Weber up to speed.
He's been involved in the process of making the changes to the plan with that were suggested by the AMS board. So he's been at all the meetings and has been involved in that process.
Well, that's probably more relevant information. If people come up and say, well, was this considered? Was that considered?
Mm-hmm.
The answer will be right there.
Yeah.
This was a very public process. And was, yeah.
So it might be worth asking Mike to be there.
To do that, yeah.
Though as far as this plan, I mean, your office wrote it.
Yeah, it's a legal contract.
Yep.
Okay. So it might be worth having Mike there to answer some questions if they come up, but or even Beecher, who could, address answers or questions that he responded to, but I think we can have him there, but I think it's still a document that you guys, so sorry.
Yep.
If it's helpful, we can put together that cover sheet that just explains when it was last adopted.
Yeah.
And that we're revising it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Excellent.
And maybe some little points about what the revisions are.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as to the format and the content, that is dictated by administrative rule. OAR 333-260-0020 dictates.
None of us know if that's real. Just kidding.
Wait, I was typing it in. Just
Commissioner,
kidding.
Google it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. That dictates the format and the content of the ASA plan to the extent that it says these subjects have to be addressed, and they have to be addressed in this order and in this format. So this plan complies with those requirements and has been double-checked against the requirements of the OAR several times.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll move forward. If all else, I can make something up as we go as well. I've been in a lot of the meetings.
Excellent. Yeah, good. I think we'll make it through. I'll do the presentation, and between us, we'll make sure the public knows as much as we do.
All right. Item number 4 is additional subjects or matters from commissioners. Mr.
Hey,
Fowler.
Thank you.
Nothing from me.
Okay. I'm going to let you off the hook, too, and at this moment, see nothing from me. I think that we'll probably... I'm trying to think of the appropriate response to sum up our meeting this morning. Because your last conversation was at an executive session, because I was not here for that meeting.
Yeah, I lost track of that. But, Commissioners Fowler and Young were here for that.
Okay. It might be worth, if we can just do a memo, kind of summing up what the recommendation out of today was.
Sure. Yeah, I can do that.
If you're willing. That way the commissioners can be apprised without me violating executive session, previous conversation that I wasn't aware of, and summing up what was today.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so next on the agenda is executive session. Before we go there, there's been a request from staff to pull two of the items since the full board is not present. One of those, I'm just curious, the facilities one, does that require the full board, though?
No, it's just that the liaison to facilities isn't here.
But the liaison to parks is, and legal, who have driven the position. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that, Darren? I don't know that we need it.
I don't have a strong opinion either way.
I personally kind of feel like this is a bigger issue than just facilities, so it doesn't require that liaison role. But if there's something specific we're waiting on, I thought we approved the position already.
No, it was to talk about the recruitment process for the position.
Okay. Can it wait a week?
Yeah.
Or is that put us in a spot with that recruitment process? I don't want us to be, I think legal would be, I'd be, for the timing of getting that position hired, I would be looking to you for guidelines on the timing.
Yeah, based on my discussions with JJ, I think that we have some time to work with there. I think the, was it approved last week?
Yes.
Okay, so, and dare I ask, is it being advertised yet, or is it still pending? Okay, so I would think you can probably advertise it, unless there's some objection.
Right.
So my issue is, at some point, I don't know what happened, but the legal wasn't on my calendar for whatever reason. I have a conflict at 2:00 next week for legal counsel. So, and then I leave for a governor's fire suppression meeting, and so I'm not at. Well, actually, we have the budget committee at 4:00, so I'd be available at 3:00. Yeah, I'd be available at 3:00, I guess, to do that. So my concern on that one, of what my hesitation to table it is simply, I think that it is a critical enough situation that we don't take any hesitation whatsoever moving forward on that position. And that would be my hesitation.
So how about what we do is we post the position right now, we'll post it externally, we'll post it internally, and then we'll discuss what it'll look like. It'll be a few weeks of being out in order to solicit a good applicant pool anyway.
Okay.
And that'll give us the time to determine what the actual recruitment looks like.
And on the other one, when does that close?
I think we have a week and a half left before it closes.
Okay. So we'll definitely not want to put them off much longer.
Yeah.
Even if we have to do the discussion on those two, like at 11 a.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, we can move it to a different time if necessary.
Okay. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So looking at the agenda for today in executive session, the agenda items are a notice of a tort claim, Spencer Higgins, ORS 192-66028. Item 5B, confidential memo regarding transfer of county road to city, ORS 192-66025. Item C, recruitment process for Board of Commissioners Executive Office Manager, ORS 192-66028. Item D, recruitment process for facilities and Administrative Supervisor Compliance Coordinator, ORS 192-66028. I would recommend a motion or entertain a motion to table items 5C and D until full board could be present.
So moved.
I'll second that. Any further comment?
No.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-0. So with that, we are going to move into executive session. It is 2:38 p.m. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about the subjects during executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decisions may be made in executive session. At the end of this executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. Recorder is being turned off at 2:38. We are back in full session at 2:59. In summary, executive session, we received a notification of a tort claim with Spencer Higgins, ORS 1926602H. Item B, confidential memo regarding transfer of County Road to City, ORS 1926602F. I'd entertain a motion. Oh, and on the tort claim is just update.
Yes.
Notification. On the transfer to county roads, I would entertain a motion authorizing staff to move forward in appropriate procedures in this process.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second that motion. Any further discussion?
No.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-0. And item number 6 is additional subject matters from commissioners. I know you... because I was notified by the building official that you were involved in that circumstance earlier. I would almost ask if we can kind of formalize who all to be involved in those types of calls to make sure that maybe run through legal what all has to be done or who all needs to be.
Yeah, this one was non-confrontational, so that was nice.
Yeah.
But I can see confrontational ones in the future.
Yeah.
Yep.
So public safety situations and different stuff, but if you'd be willing,
response team or
yeah, and there's more to that. I'll give my feedback to legal of what I learned in the process and kind of stuff. But you were heading it up. I got an update and then you responded. So
right.
But I also
so like solidify a process or a document that. Mm-hmm. Identified who all would be consulted when one of those were to be action itemed. Is that what you're looking at? Okay.
Something like that, just to make sure we got all our ducks in a row. It was brought to my attention that there's still a concern that with all the code enforcement requests, only the most highest risk are being brought to the board. And recently got brought to my attention from a citizen that they said, well, the board's being blamed that we're not allowing things to move forward. And I said, at one point, these Tuesday meetings, we were supposed to be getting monthly updates on some code enforcement stuff, but it's been a while since we've had very many brought to us. And I didn't know if that process changed, and I wasn't aware that it changed. But
I don't know if you're aware.
I'm not aware. I thought we were still going to be, we wanted to get through the backlog. We wanted to get things moving. We had wanted to have them regularly brought to the board so we could be moving on them.
I know it changed, but I can't speak to it. I know that it changed because I did talk with Augustus about that.
But was the board involved in it changing?
I thought the board was involved.
Because I had heard Dan, I was walking through and I heard Dan say something the other day. I thought these are supposed to be brought to us all the, you know, regularly.
Right.
And I hadn't heard that. So can we revisit that? My concern
is...
Augustus.
I just remember asking that same question.
Well, and I almost, my feeling is almost that it would behoove us to, even through Mark or somebody, to have other counties contacted and how are they moving things through the system. Are there any outside of the box ways that we can look that these ones may not rise to this glory but still need to be dealt with and trying to get through some of the code enforcement stuff, or maybe a process recommendation of, is there things that can be done so that things are dealt with and don't just kind of...
I thought he had a process going. But
well, he does. Yeah, I wouldn't think that things are... there's much more than meets the eye, I suspect.
Probably.
You know what I mean? So the entire system
I just didn't know that if the system changed. My memory was that we had asked that we regularly have stuff brought to us so we can get that wheel turning again, that process going regularly.
It's hard to think of a month when we haven't had, it's hard to think of more than 3 weeks when we haven't brought a case or two.
Okay. Well, in this 4 months, I could only remember maybe one or two the whole year. And it could be that, because sometimes
Tuesday. Three last week.
No, I think what Commissioner Morgan means is that we're not bringing them to the board every time, because there was a process that changed somewhere along the line about that. But we can bring it, we can update, yeah, okay. We could give you an update and say,
yeah, tell
this
us what
is how
the
many
process
we filed. Because, yeah,
I can do that.
He files a lot.
Like I said, yeah, okay. He did three,
yeah,
last week. So
yeah.
And keeping in mind, I mean, when engaging citizens on this point, that the entire system is set up to keep people from having to go to litigation, to keep the county from having to do litigation. There's the notice period,
yeah,
you know, 60 days, 10 days. There's all
and
the work.
And that's the change, too, now,
yeah,
that you're saying that. It was that whole notice thing. It used to be that we would come to you and say, we're going to file,
yeah,
a suit, but now the notice goes out first.
Right, and then only when we actually get to the end of that without compliance.
Yeah. Right, so it's a change of tactics to try and get compliance.
So we're not required as the full process, so that's why things aren't being brought to us the same way that...
Okay.
The word to the citizen that got a hold of me was that we were accused of being why they stopped.
That we got a stack of them here, we're not passing through.
We just said not to process.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's like, well, if they're not brought to us, how do we even say move forward on them?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I don't know.
But I know that one of the things that came out of our goal setting was looking at process for things and getting a move through, mm-hmm, the county and all that kind of stuff. So I just... It made me realize, and I know I've not been here all the Tuesdays, and so that was evident this morning,
one,
too. You know, I was like, Wally looked at me, he's like, well, you know, and I was like, gosh,
oh, yeah.
I completely spaced, I have no memory of that previous conversation, but...
Sure enough, yeah, so I lost.
But I'm going to agree with you and support you in this, but I have no idea what you're saying.
I know, well, that's why, once I said at one point, I think we're going to keep covering the same ground over and over.
Yeah.
But not, I didn't mean that.
No. I just felt like, dang it, I am horrible. But then I realized, wait, I was not at a meeting.
That's horrible.
That makes sense. All right. I just want us to continually be mindful of process, and are we moving things through at the speed we can for the sake,
right,
of continuity and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and I'm seeing a lot of them, whether by citizen contact or by planning department. There certainly is a lot of cases bubbling up as far as enforcement, mm, and neighbors getting near the end of their ropes.
Would you like us to copy you with every complaint that we file? It's certainly, we have done that in the past with other boards.
It wouldn't be a horrible thing to get a memo advising, so we can say, no, we're processing.
Summary
we
once
see
a week
it.
Or whatever. Or
well,
a
summary
feel.
Or actually a copy of the complaint filed in court. So you see, this is the complaint. It was filed this date.
I don't want to overkill it.
And that's not, yeah, it's not the most insightful window, I would think, because so many of these cases we do get untold. We do get compliance on without having to file a complaint.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
right,
the niece is constantly
getting to that
age
formal
in
part of the process.
Yeah, that's
because
the last resort.
Yeah, because the notice goes out, and I think a lot of times, you know, it goes out to anybody who's got an interest in the property. So sometimes that prompts this, what's going on?
Right.
You know, like if they're, or if a bank is involved, or...
right, out of town landlord or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think you're right. It's been a lot more letters going out. But maybe we should talk to the guests about putting together some kind of... I know he keeps track of it.
Yeah.
He's got his own spreadsheet thing going anyway, so...
He does. Denise, mm-hmm, also does. So between,
yeah,
the two of them, I'm sure we can get,
yeah, okay,
a snapshot.
Sure.
Regularly. All right. We'll figure out a system.
So
a process.
Did I hear that next week's meeting might be on a different date?
No, just maybe time. I did hear back from U.S. Forest Service. June 3rd is the deadline.
Okay.
So we're fine with sending it to weekly business session next week.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. So... Deschutes County is coming into town. I was supposed to do a tour with them over a mental health facility, and they had to reschedule, and somehow it ended up at 2 o'clock next Tuesday, and I don't know why I thought that was an available time, because Tuesdays at 2 are never an available time. But in that day, we have the general discussion in the morning, which is community development and public works. It doesn't look like there's more on that agenda in the morning, and so if we had to... have JJ move to the 11 o'clock hour, we could do that for those portions. And if the afternoon, I either can move it up or after. We have the 4 o'clock budget committee, and then I have to drive to Sisters, so I'm so not looking forward to that day. Because Sisters is further than Ben, so it's like, oy vey, it's going to be a long one.
Just a little.
About 1 o'clock that day.
Yeah, we can go before, that's fine.
1 p.m. it is.
All right, so legal at 1 next Tuesday. Fun stuff. All right.
Just to put a fine point, so it sounds like the watershed analysis letter is definitely headed to business session next week.
Correct.
Okay, so everyone's following that point.
Okay. So we can have that, yes.
Okay.
Was there anything that came out of the meeting at Cave Junction that we needed to follow up on?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. I would like to forward you some information I got from Dave Larson on the federal excise equipment program and to see how it relates to us. Basically some restrictions that he suggested, but I'm trying to be intentional not to take somebody's word for something. That when
trust
I'm told, when I'm told you can't do that because of blah, 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 I said, can I get it in writing? Case in point, Scott Blower told me that he was told by a coworker, he could name the coworker, so, I mean, it was one of those things that any military craft that are obtained through the federal excise equipment programs cannot, they can only be used for cargo and cannot contain a single passenger. And his point in telling me this last night was that would be highly problematic in a fire season because generally speaking, helicopters that can carry water, they first have the basket kind of rolled up, you go and drop a team on the ground, and then you lower the basket, you go get water, and you bring it back, and then that hand crew is further putting it out, working in conjunction with dropping water, that you can't drop enough water to do it without a crew on the ground. And I said, can you show me where it says that it can't have a single passenger? Or, you know, if in the planes that are the tanker planes, if they can't have a passenger that's a spotter, that's an issue for them as well. So, you know, here, it again, the IRAT gets brought up in this meeting. I'm told I'm misrepresenting publicly. But
just words.
I have lots of information I've gotten from federal and state agencies. But I'm trying to receive and get further information. Show me, I need to see, where's that law, where's it this? So one of those was where ODF said that it had to be a county employee, that's the pilot, and if they are operating commercially, they fall under Section 135 of a regulation, otherwise they fall under Section 129 of a regulation. And so I asked him, get it to me. And so he got it to me, but I don't see in reading it that it necessarily applies to the county. His interpretation of the rule is that without us having a current air program, we can't even receive an aircraft through that federal excess equipment program. And I'm still trying to do my due diligence of this IRAP program or that proposal, even if that proposal doesn't work. I'm still trying to find out, is there any room that for anything, so that I'm not just taking someone's verbal word for it. So I just would love help interpreting. So I'll forward that to you if you're willing to help.
Yes. We've done some research when that was all playing out. So
Separately, at Merkley's town hall, I brought up the SRS and the sequestration. He was not aware the sequestration was put to the SRS payments that are coming. And so he was offering to try to fight that and challenge that because he says sequestration is not even supposed to be in play till 2020. So for us to have a 6.2% sequestration on these payments coming, so he's going to check on that. We also brought up the broadband stuff, and he said there's a Connect America grant. I reached out to Susan C. Ryder with the city about seeing with the CEDC, because we got the connection with CEDC. I'm not sure how you apply for grants through multiple agencies or such. But then in the meeting last night, housing came up as well. And I know there's some USDA rural grants that may be available for housing and stuff. So I'm not sure how it'll be, but we might be needing some help with some contracts with some grant stuff coming up if we are able to qualify. So I'll try not to throw too much at you, but might as well look and see if there's some opportunities for some funding.
Oh boy.
Okay, I'm done blurring. Bye.
Got it all out there, did
I
you?
I think so. I did attend the third celebration. You did too, at the Sobering Center.
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting to see community involvement of, we have county staff and county agencies that we've helped fund that are, or non-county agencies we help fund that are on the Sobering Center board. We also are one of the funders of the Sobering Center, and so it was good to hear the reports and see how that's moving. And to have been a founding board member and to have stepped down and see how it's continuing is kind of exciting. So,
I can't believe it's been 3 years already since we all stood around and watched it open.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Well, seeing if there's nothing further, I will adjourn at 3:14.